Shit, man. Fuck. I would say that was probably the greatest, one of the greatest flyweight title fights ever in UFC history.
The flyweight division has been revived. Thank you.
Well, a lot of the time, it started to make it that any of the title fights in the flyweights would get dropped to co-main or even lower in the main event. The main card. And all the main events and the co-mains would be the lightweights, the middleweights, the light heavyweights and shit like that. All the flyweights would get dropped because no one cared about them as much now. That fight proved that they should still be there. I really feel like Henry Cejudo was really important for the flyweight division to revive it, but I feel like Figgy and as well as Marino have really brought it to a new spot now.
Do you remember 2 years ago when we went to go watch the Dillashaw versus Cejudo fight and you said to me, oh, they're going to get rid of the flyweight division. Dana wants to get rid of the flyweight division because it's just pointless. But now, I reckon he's glad that he didn't.
I know.
Because Figueiredo is just probably one of the most active champions. First of all, he just fought 3 weeks ago.
Well, so did the assassin baby.
Both of them just fought 3 weeks ago. Right off the bat, they're going to another UFC event. That is crazy.
That was the shortest period of time from one fight to title fight. Yeah. It was from title fight to title fight. It was 21 days.
Yeah, I was going to ask, what's second to that?
Matt Hughes, 56 days, I'm pretty sure. And that's, he fought BJ Penn and then he fought GSP 56 days later.
Okay.
Yeah, so, I mean, two fucking crazy people to fucking fight.
Yeah.
Okay, Matt Hughes is a beast in his itself, but... I mean, let's talk about the flyweight fight. Fuck. Okay. This main event card was quite long.
Yeah.
And then when it finally got to the flyweights, I was like, shit, we still have this crazy fight left. Yeah. That was so good.
Did not disappoint. If it doesn't get fight of the year, I will say it was probably the flyweight fight of the year. I would like that.
Yeah, I would say so.
Each division has its own fight of the year. For the women's strawweight division, I would say, is it strawweight or flyweight? Or it would be Weili Zhang versus Joanna Jędrzejczyk. For the lightweight fight of the year, I've got to say it would be Poirier versus Dan Hooker, because I really like that one.
Certainly up there, although the Tony Ferguson versus Justin Gaethje is up there as well. Yeah. It gets iffy. I reckon I was going to talk to you about this off air, but I might as well say it now. I reckon at our last episode for the year, we should pick our fighter of the year, right?
Yeah.
And we should also say what were our top fights of the year,
yeah,
and who were like some top prospects of the year. Like,
okay, then. Let's just scrap what I'm doing right now.
No. I understand what you mean. You're trying to say the fly. This was, I mean, I can't imagine. We have much time left of the year to watch some great flyweight fights, but I would say that was one of the greatest flyweight title fights. I mean, a lot of people, and there's a bit of controversy behind it because a lot of people I thought were saying Figgy won, right? But I saw there was a few MMA accounts that we know that said, actually, you know, everyone knows that Marino won. And I was like, I actually favored Figgy winning 3-2,
yeah,
which would have came to 48-47. However, I believe in the third round, did a clean dick shot at Marino.
It was a good cop shot.
Very good. I mean, excellent technique, but it cost him a point.
Yeah.
Which you mentioned typically doesn't happen. Usually the dick shots don't typically make you lose a point, right? It's usually repeated eye pokes that get them to lose a point and things like that. So it came to 47-47.
Yeah,
a draw. So I agree with the decision for a draw.
Yeah, me too. I mean, it was because if it wasn't for that dick shot, I mean, a lot of people are probably going to be arguing right now, oh, the reason why it was a draw is because of the dick shot. They're right, because it's quite rare to lose a point from shoot kicking him in the groin, because normally groin shots occur for one of two reasons. A leg kick they were going for was too high, or if they go and take a kick to the body and they jump into it and usually hits them in the groin. But I kind of do agree with the point loss, because the severity of the groin shot and the fact that it was a title shot. And look, I don't think off the bat the referee was thinking it, but then he looked at the absolute damage that was done to Marino. I mean, the guy was literally just sitting on the ground still for at least a minute. Even Joe Rogan says it. He said he hasn't moved.
I do get your point, because I almost felt like he was coughing, but they were like dry coughs, like he was about to heave, like into vomiting and things like that. I mean, we've all been hit with a fucking great dick shot and once or twice in our life, right? But if you do any martial arts or any type of kicking sport, even fucking soccer, you're going to most likely get kicked in the dick at some point. Yeah. And that thing fucking drops you. And even the cups that the UFC makes, if you get a fucking kick by the flyweight champion, I can imagine it's going to drop you down onto the ground and just be fucking in agony.
Especially when the flyweight champion is called the God of War.
Exactly. I mean, that was a great fight. I thought that was an incredible fight. It was back and forth, great exchanges. Yeah. I was telling you that Figgy was more power and timing, and Marino was more speed and intensity and volume, because he would, any time that they got really, really close in the pocket, Marino was so quick, especially with that right overhand. He was so fast.
And he was laying down some big uppercuts as well.
He was. It was just Figgy's shots were so much harder. Yeah. Everything he hit was fucking hard as far. I felt that his power just started to drop off after the third round, I felt.
He threw a spinning back kick right out the gate on the first round.
He threw a few of them.
Yeah, and then he landed one pretty successfully into the, I think it was in the second round, and he got Marino against the cage. But there was one point that was, I thought, I think Marino's got it. It was when he laid like a three-punch combination into Figgy, and it was I think it was in the end of the third round after he got the cock shot. He was like, Figueroa was like, ooh, stumbling a little bit, and he dropped his hands. And then he had him against the cage, and I thought, when we were actually yelling, we're like, holy crap, I think he might have had it for a second. So I honestly believe that third round, let's say, take away the cock shot, that third round still definitely went to Marino.
Yeah, I think so. I think, I really think that Figgy did win the fight, if... And it was a very close fight. Very close.
Very close.
If that dick shot didn't happen.
Yeah.
But with that dick shot, it was so close to the wire.
Yeah.
I still believe Figgy edged it.
Yeah.
If not for the dick shot.
Yeah.
But because of the dick shot, I agree with the draw. I agree with the draw. I don't... There's a lot of times when... I mean, we saw it in boxing, Tyson Fury versus... Deontay Wilder, their first fight, and that came to a draw, and you're like, what the fuck? And there's a lot of times where the judges call a draw, and you're like, oh, this is bullshit, because it is usually in title fights that you're like, oh, this is bullshit. They're going to do that, so they have to have a fucking rematch, and you get pissed off. I agree with the draw. I don't see what's so bad, actually.
I agree with the draw as well. I mean, I would love to see it run. I would love to see him running back, though. I would love to see them running back in front of a crowd, because it went the distance, you know, and... When it comes to fights that go the distance, you know, some of them can be boring, but that one was pretty much exciting all the way through, except maybe in the last round. The last round was a little bit interesting. I mean, Joe Rogan was asking Brandon, did you do something to your left shoulder? He said he popped it out or something like that, or popped it back
in. No, he was asking about his arm. Arm, because it looked like he was grabbing his arm and resetting a bone. But I think Marino said, nah, I wasn't doing anything. So it does get difficult for you to, like, judge their body language to see if anything's broken, because I mean, if anyone I thought was going to have a broken arm, I thought it was going to be Figgy, because he kept on catching those he didn't get his arm hurt, but I felt like he was fatigued, because he would catch the kick from Marino, right, and he would block it very quickly with the forearm, but he did it so repeatedly that I was like, and then he started to, when he has his left arm down, it wasn't as high up in his face anymore, he would start to drop a bit lower. I felt like as the fight progressed, by catching those kicks from Marino, he started to fatigue a little bit more, especially in his arms. Mm-hmm. And his power started to drop off after the third round, I think.
Yeah.
That's when we started to see, you know, that fourth round with Marino was, Marino's catching up a little bit. He's starting to enforce his will a little bit. I thought it was a great fight, honestly. I thought it was really good.
I'm satisfied, because the card in general.
Tony Ferguson, unfortunately, he got...
my boy.
Yeah, I know. He lost by decision to Charles Oliveira. And then we knew that Charles, like we knew they were both excellent on the ground, right? And certainly we've seen a little bit of Charles's striking here and there, but he's much more so a submission artist. Yeah, however,
he is.
Charles really was doing very well on the feet as well as on the ground. And just, I was amazed by his strength positionally. He was very technical with just his positions, right? It was, even when he was on the ground, he wasn't always trying to go for the submission, go for the submission. He was using a lot of control, just using his body weight in specific positions where Tony, all he could do was try and just grasp his hands together to make sure that Tony, he didn't...
there's a thing they teach you in jiu-jitsu to escape a lock is your legs always going to overpower your arms. So that's why he was trying to use his legs to hold his arms into place so he couldn't break that lock. And it was a weird position that even he said it was like he was trying to set up some form of triangle that involved his arm and his leg together. And then, but Oliveira kept punching. I'm going to say something that does, but I'm also going to contradict myself because, like I said, I felt like there would have been a different fight if that was five rounds because it was only three. However, if it was five rounds, it would have been five-minute rounds. And, well, Oliveira had that armbar at the end of round one, and that was a bloody good armbar as well. That was tight. Like, you could see Tony Ferguson's striations in his chest, like, because his shoulder was almost getting wrenched out, and he managed to just hold on. So I reckon if it was five rounds, maybe it would have been a different fight. But however, if he got that armbar in those first round, game over, because he still would have had 2 minutes left to hold it in.
I know we spoke about that during the fight, but the thing with Tony is, and I know where you're coming from, whereas, I mean, Tony's typically, in his last couple of fights, he's been in five-round fights, and that's allowed his cardio to play into effect. But I felt like Charles... I felt like his cardio was pretty good as well. What I was thinking that could beat that was that Tony got caught in such a horrific submission attempt. And if that was, maybe there was a few more seconds longer, I think even Tony might have, would tap. Because he could went like this, right? Didn't know if maybe he's just trying to grab and he's so stretched out, that's as far as he can go. But if that was on a little bit longer, I think the ref would have been like possibly trying to save Tony from himself, right? Tony's got a heart of a warrior. But if that went on longer, I think, and we already saw it. We already saw it later on in the fight. Tony's left arm was a bit fucking buggered.
Yeah.
That jab that he's so often putting in people's face and using his elbows and things like that, it wasn't as effective. He wasn't using it as much because I think his shoulder was just fucking wrenched out. He wrenched it so hard. It looked like he was going to tap or he was going to fuck his shoulder up really, really bad and the fight was going to be stopped by a doctor. But I feel like Charles still would have beat Tony. I feel like it would have been a different fight if it was a five-round fight and that submission attempt never happened.
Yeah.
But because that submission happened in the first round, it kind of set up two and three being fucking horrific for Tony because Charles essentially took away one of his limbs, one of Tony's most important limbs, which is his jab, you know?
Yeah, and he loves to throw those elbows. Well, right off the bat, like it was when they, in the first round, Oliveira was already had really good, he's got really good striking. It was really putting it on Tony, and then he threw a couple of hits at him, and then Tony was against the cage, and he tried to do a spinning back fist off the cage, and you know,
almost caught him as well.
Yeah, he did, and not even that, but there was a point again in the, I think it was the third round, the last round, where Oliveira put him in a triangle, and we actually thought, oh shit, he's got the triangle. We thought that was going to be it, but then he lost the triangle trying to readjust. So I feel like, I was, and again, I'm a little bit biased because I love Tony Ferguson. I feel like, you know, Charles Oliveira won, but, you know, he didn't beat Ferguson because it could have gone, because Ferguson's known for those last minute, last minute finishes, you know what I mean? He goes forever. He's got that cardio. He's like, he's known for training out working out 6 hours a day.
Yeah, so yeah.
If again, five rounds, even though I contradicted myself because he could have got submitted and all that, but I still feel like they should maybe go. I feel like they should go again, but I don't think it's going to be anytime soon because Oliveira, he's does is he now put into third place?
He would have to be number three now. Yeah, I think.
He'd have to, and so I reckon now that he's won, he'll probably have to fight. I reckon a good fight for him next could be Gaethje.
Yeah, and I think that's not an easy fight for Gaethje.
Yeah, but one thing that's also disappointing is the fact that we were saying this, just as soon as you lose, man, everyone's counting you out.
Well, as soon as Tony lost, he lost his impressive mystique.
Yeah.
That aura around him that made him so invincible. When they, you know, they would always show the memes of, you know, his last nine opponents and they're cut up to pieces and they all look like they really don't want to be there.
Yeah.
And then his fight with Gaethje, they took a picture of him and it looked like Tony Ferguson fought Tony Ferguson, mm-hmm. right? And now after this fight, they all started posting the pictures of him and Khabib and saying, well, I think we know who would have fucked up each other. Who would have fucked up the other one? And they were all saying, yeah, Khabib would have fucking smashed him. And stylistically, I think Tony was the best opponent for Khabib.
Mm-hmm.
Perhaps Charles Oliveira is a better matchup than Tony to fight Khabib because it looked like his striking was better than Tony's. He was able to take down Tony many times, right? Very quickly as well. And the amount of submissions he was able to put Tony in, that armbar was so fast. It was so smooth. Like, he's technically smooth. Which was funny because, was it the third round where he got him in a triangle?
Yeah.
And then they rotated round and he almost looked like he had a mounted triangle and then he let go of it so he could go into full mount. And I was like, you could have just kept going in the mat and then just punched him, but yeah. I mean, you do have to trust their instinct. Yeah. It could have felt like it was about to just, his legs were about to lose their grip.
Yeah.
And he just went, all right, I'm gonna go straight into full mount then.
Yeah. So it's where the lightweight division now, again, stacked division, is where it sits is Charles Oliveira, we got Poirier, we got Connor, and we got Gaethje, right?
Lightweight is the most interesting.
Yeah.
I would say so. It's the most interesting kind of fight.
And we know Poirier is fighting Connor for the lightweight. Mm-hmm. Sorry, not just for a lightweight bout in January 23rd. Mm-hmm. And then what they could do is they could have the winner of then you have Gaethje and Oliveira, right? And then you have the winner of those two fights fight each other for the lightweight mm-hmm. bout. Mm-hmm. That would be really interesting because either way, you get a Poirier versus a Gaethje, a Poirier versus Oliveira, or you get a McGregor versus Oliveira, which, poof. And we all know how the last time when Conor fought a grappler.
Fought a Brazilian as well. He fought a Brazilian, then that's when he started to really take off.
Yeah.
Against Jose. I wanted to talk about Kevin Holland's first round TKO against Ronaldo Souza, Jacare Souza. Mm-hmm. Fucking unreal. Unreal how he was piecing up Souza on the feet. Souza manages to get in, I believe he was he was on the ground with Kevin Holland. And I think he was in full guard,
yeah.
Right? And Souza gets a few good hits in, right? The strikes that Souza did hit Kevin Holland with, I was like, wow, shit, that, you know, he does still have a good bit of power. But as soon as Holland, he was so patient, even though he was in full guard, right? And you've got Jacare on top of you, who's amazing, amazing at Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, right? He took his time. He waited. He would pause his shots. And as soon as he hit and he timed those shots well, Jacare closed up. He was like, holy shit. Hit him. And he managed to hit Jacare so hard that Jacare had flopped backwards. He didn't even have the time to move his legs or anything like that. Flopped back on his back. He's got his legs fully flexed backwards. And then bang, bang, bang. Ref has to call it off.
Yeah.
I thought that was really impressive from Kevin because a lot of people were counting him out. A lot of people were thinking that even though Sosa's 41, the amount of experience and the amount of people he's fought in the middleweight division, you got to give him some form of respect, and how he could definitely, with the level of experience he has, take this W, right? No. Kevin Holland, he was so dynamic with his striking, but I felt like even his timing on the ground, his strikes on the ground, his timing was so good. He was so patient. You don't really see that with a lot of the young, brash fighters, because he is really confident. Some would say overconfident with himself. But his timing was so good. I feel like Kevin Holland, he's a fucking problem. Kevin Holland is a problem in the middleweight division. I feel like his timing with his strikes, and even it's just the pressure he has on the feet and the timing he has for strikes on the ground, even if he's on his back, he's a problem. I feel like he's going to be top five soon.
Oh, now he's already calling out Hamzat Chimaev. He's a hype train, and he wants to be the hype train, you know. And now you want to go up against the guy who's probably everyone's, like, you know,
boogeyman. Yeah, exactly. Boogeyman. Exactly. I would say,
and he wants to fight him next week.
That's questionable if it's going to happen, but yeah, we all know Hamza is a bit of a wild person anyway. But I wanted to mention that because Figgy didn't win his fight today, it was a draw.
Mm-hmm.
I would say Kevin Holland has bumped him for Fighter of the Year. There's a lot of people up there. Kevin Holland has fought, I think, five times this year, won all five.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of those fights have finished in spectacular fashion. It's sad because there's another person I want to talk about that's possibly going to be retired. If they're getting rid of Yoel Romero, there's a couple people on tonight's card they're probably going to get rid of. They're going to probably get rid of Jacare.
Yeah.
And they're probably going to get rid of JDS. I love JDS. I think he's so good.
Yeah.
But, and the thing is, he lost today against an undefeated Cyril Gain. Cyril Gane. I don't know how to pronounce his name, but he's a scary guy on his feet as well, that Gane. And it was too much. It was too much for JDS. I believe it was in the second round. It was questionable about the strike, where the placement of the strike was, because a lot of people thought it was blatantly at the back of the head, but once you replay it, it's perfect right behind, just behind the ear, like that. JDS also started to turn over, and you can't really expect when someone's about to strike and you turn over, you're not going to get hit in the back of the head. It's just, you're protecting, it's to protect yourself at all times. If you turn over your head while they're throwing elbows, it's to be expected that one of them is going to hit at the back of the head. JDS, it's sad because I really like him, but he's lost four in a row now.
Yeah.
I believe all of them have been by, I think so. There was Rosenstrike, there was Ngannou, there was his fight today with Cyril Gane. I think it's Gane. I'm really sorry if I fucked his name up. It's Gane, I think it's Gane.
Yeah.
I can't remember his other fight. But I know he's lost his last four.
Yeah, it's not good, especially considering he's in his 40s now.
It was his last kind of chance to go for a title shot, and I feel like it's not there anymore. It's not possible now.
Yeah.
I think they're going to get rid of JDS. I think they're going to get rid of Jacare, and it sucks. I mean, you can always keep competing. I know a lot of people started competing again at jiu-jitsu competitions like Submission Underground and things like that. It's sad. I really like those two fighters, but I feel like 2020 takes no prisoners. If they've already got rid of Yoel Romero, they're going to get rid of Jacare, and they're going to get rid of...
There's a few more names I reckon they want to get rid of as well. What's another one? I reckon, I don't know, maybe Dana's going to want to get rid of Tyron Woodley. I know that they don't get on well with each other.
I hope they don't get rid of Tyron. I hope Tyron gets one more fight.
Yeah.
And if it doesn't work out, then...
I think he's probably going to have to get rid of Diego Sanchez.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think he might get rid of Clay.
Guidi's going. For sure.
Who else would you think, though, who want to get
there
rid
was,
of?
There was a few that I had to check.
You know, we already got rid of Rachel Ostovich. he's already got rid of Paige VanZant. You know, there's quite a few names that are quite a few big names that are gone. I feel like, you know, Yoram Romero is just the first piece of the pie. And if he's really the tip of the iceberg, that's a really big fucking iceberg.
I don't know who else that they would remove now, but I feel like Clay Guida is probably on that list, as well as Diego Sanchez. I think they're too far past their prime, and they're not staying in the winning column.
I also think he's going to get rid of Alexander Gustafsson, even though he retired and came back and lost.
Yeah. Oh, you think Alexander Gustafsson's going to go? I feel like he's not getting rid of Alexander Gustafsson yet.
Yeah.
I think
he might get rid of Alexia Olenek, the bowel constrictor. Maybe.
Maybe.
Because he's old. He's just had so many fights. He's not really going to get a title shot anytime soon.
Yeah, it gets difficult when these fighters get a bit older. It does get rough.
Yeah.
It does get rough.
Anyway, but one thing that's going to be coming back next year, though, is he's going to really push to have his contender series up. Dana also wants to have another season of The Ultimate Fighter.
Yeah, and I don't know who they're going to pick.
Yeah, who would be a really good coach? Who do you reckon would be some really good coaches?
I would have liked Izzy versus some other fighter, maybe Whitaker or something like that, or maybe... You could even do maybe a Paulo Costa versus Vittori, or who else would be really good?
Like
or even Till versus Vittori, but Ultimate Fighter. I reckon that would be really good.
Yeah.
Really good.
Or middleweight or something like that. Maybe some lightweights, throw them into the mix, you know? It could be.
I think Vittori versus Till would be really good for The Ultimate Fighter.
Did you see what Till did to Vittori?
Because Vittori said, "I'm just waiting on my first meme," because he called out Till. He said, "Who's going to be the? We're going to make sure who's the best out of Europe." Till says, "Let's fucking go!" Let's fucking go, like he'd usually say, in his classic Scouse accent. And he just says, "Look, you had a great fight last week. Let's do it. Let's fight." Vittori says, "Hey, I'm waiting on my first meme." And he sends it to her, "Here you go, you ugly cunt." Like, and it's
that
him.
Thing from the Goonies, that ogre.
I didn't know what it was from, but I knew it was like an ogre face. Yeah. It's like mixed between, it's like a pig ogre.
Oh, God. I was like, well done, Till.
Oh, he's so good.
It's funny, that Till. You know?
He is funny.
Yeah.
He is so funny.
Yeah, that's good. I mean, who else would it be something? Look, I mean, that's what's going to happen next year. 2021 is going to be a big year because, you know, 2020... You've UFC 2021 now going to set itself above the rest, because now it's like MMA is just overshadowing a lot of the fight game. Like, forgive me, even though this is a fucking fight podcast, Anthony Joshua fought last night. I didn't even know.
He fought this morning.
Yeah, he fought this morning.
It was against Kubrat Pulev.
I didn't even fucking know that.
It wasn't
published. It wasn't promoted.
It wasn't promoted as much as something like Mike Tyson coming up.
Considering it was literally a week after Mike Tyson versus.
AJ was doing very well. And I think in the third round, that's where AJ started to really put on pressure on Pulev. But it managed to get to the ninth round. The ninth round, he TKO'd Pulev. Just fucking smashed him. And he was clearly KO'd. He just rolled back.
Yeah.
Back on the canvas and...
He just walked off.
And Anthony Joshua, and I tried to post the video, but it got blocked. I think it was BT Sport that blocked me. Thank you. but it was AJ and Eddie Hearn saying, "Look, we need to sort out this next fight." And the next fight for AJ is Tyson Fury.
It's got to be Tyson Fury.
It has to be Tyson Fury. Why wouldn't they said the exact same thing. They said, "It's the only real big fight to make in boxing." And I agree. I don't know why it hasn't happened. I mean, it's been like, what, 3 or 4 years?
Yeah.
It's taken for them to actually publicly go, "Yeah, let's do Tyson Fury versus AJ."
Yeah, well, when things like that happen, you ask the question, what's next? The issue with boxing is the fighters aren't as active as you see UFC fighters.
And they don't often...
There's not enough personalities in boxing anymore, that's what I can say.
Yeah, and it's difficult with boxing is because they've got WBO, WBC. It gets difficult for when they have to negotiate to get these big names from different continents to come fight each other and put their own belt on the line to win another belt when they could already just be like, oh, I'm the heavyweight champion.
Especially when there's so much money involved as well.
Huge. There's so much money in boxing compared to the UFC.
A lot of it's overpay. But with UFC fighters, you know, because there's not as much money involved, that's why they're always trying to stay active. You know, you said to myself, like, Davis and Figueroa fighting 3 weeks because... You said that after his last fight with Alex Perez and he beat him in the first round, in the first 2 minutes, he didn't get the fight of the night bonus.
He didn't. He wanted that 50K bonus and he went to Dana White's office and he said, look, I don't think he really pleaded his case that much, but he definitely had a case. You know, he won in the first round, his first title defense, won the first round in the first, what, 2 to 3 minutes? Crazy guillotine after going for, I think he was going for a leg lock or something. And he went, what do you mean? I was the main event and I don't get the 50K bonus after winning within the first couple minutes of the very first round. And Dana just got the 50K and just went, give him a little bag with 50K in it. And he was like, I'm happy. Happy,
yeah.
I mean, yeah, it gets difficult with boxing because there's so much pay compared to other combat sports like the UFC, bare knuckle boxing, Bellator, things like that. Yeah. It gets difficult for you to negotiate because there's so much more to lose.
Yeah. Speaking of so much more to lose, we have the greatest fighter of our generation, who's probably arguably one of the greatest boxers of all time. Now, I know when boxing's a little bit out of our... even though fight podcast, we're not super like knowledgeable boxing fans, but if there was an argument for the top five of greatest boxers of all time, Floyd Mayweather would stick up there because he's never, you know,
be in the between the 1 to 3 range.
Yeah, there you go.
Somewhere like that. It's weird to see that someone who's arguably the greatest boxer ever, especially defensively boxing. Is fighting an exhibition bout against Logan Paul. You know what? They sold me on the Tenshin Nasukawa because that was with Ryzen. Yeah. He's bringing all the Asian fans over to boxing, which typically doesn't happen. They're more into kickboxing and other different combat sports. And then... And Nasukawa was like... he was very young. I think he was like 20 at the time. He was a prodigy. But he was a kickboxer, right? You've taken away half his arsenal.
Yeah.
And you've said, all right, you're going to box. When really he's a kickboxer. Kickboxing prodigy. But he kind of sold it on us, you know. He's one of the greatest boxers ever, especially defensively. But he's an aging competitor, and he wants to put on a show for the Asian fans. And then they bring Logan Paul, who's 0-1 professionally. He should never have been a professional boxer. He never should have got a pro license ever, right?
Yeah,
I don't know.
I just don't get it. Why, man? Like. Even if Logan wins or loses, he still gets a shitload of money from it. And it kind of compromises.
Oh, he's not winning. He's not winning.
He's not going to fucking win. He's not. The only thing that kid's got is the size. And there's just all these like little kids and all these mates trying to hype him up. Like, yeah, it's big for YouTubers. I'm just like.
Who gives a fuck? I think if it was MMA.
I don't hate him because I'm actually a fan of Logan Paul.
I think he's the nicer one of the brothers.
Yeah,
but
I mean, I like him because, you know, of course he runs a podcast. I listen to his podcast. He gets some pretty interesting guests on. Like, he got Belle Delphine on his podcast. Did you know that? It's so hard to get that girl to do anything, like, in terms of interviews because she's, like, banned from all social media. You know, he had 6ix9ine on his podcast, who's, like, probably one of the most hated gang rappers right now, and everyone's out to get him. So, you know, he does really like to set the bar high for himself in a lot of things. I understand that, but you know, if he wanted an exhibition bout, I mean, it kind of just shows that it's a complete cash grab.
And it definitely is,
especially on Floyd Mayweather's side. So my boxing coach was telling me about this. So he must really be desperate for that money because the amount of money that Floyd Mayweather goes through. So. Here's what he told me. Floyd Mayweather is huge into the watch game. He loves watches and he loves strip clubs and, you know, he's got his gym. But during COVID, he must have lost a lot of money because they couldn't pay for... Because he must have been paying rent on everything or ownership on the places or whatever. But especially when no money was going out. And in the watch game, he like would go and pay like 500k for one watch, right? Mm. And then he'll find someone to put diamonds on it for him, and he'll go and spend like $1 million in diamonds or something like that, put onto a watch, and then he's like spent 1.5k on a watch, and that's money you'll never get back because that's a
1.5 million.
Yeah. Because that's money you're not going to get back, because then that's going to be a depreciating asset.
Yeah, I mean, someone like Floyd, he's had so much success in boxing and he's made so much money. His fights are in the nine figure fights, but he's done so well financially and boxing wise that I feel like I think he just wants to rely on his boxing skills in order to make more money. I question why he needs more money. I feel like he's made close to $1 billion at least.
Oh, yeah.
He would make at least $1 billion if you stack it all up all together. I don't know where his money goes. I know he spends a lot. I know he always likes to flaunt it and things like that.
He loves strip clubs. He brings about 25K wherever he goes.
In a little backpack, I know. And then I don't get why he does that, because it's weird how he spends his money. You would think that someone who has got that much money has a whole room full of financial advisors that could turn that money into way more money.
Yeah.
I don't get why that's the case. And it makes it difficult because the YouTubers fighting YouTubers on maybe an undercard of a pro boxing fight, I can get around it, right?
I get that too.
But an exhibition fight of the greatest boxer ever and an 01 YouTubing boxer that somehow got a pro card, it doesn't make sense for me. And I don't really like it because it does question the integrity of boxing as a sport.
All that kid got over Floyd Mayweather is his size.
It would make sense in MMA.
Yeah, it makes sense.
Logan's wrestling background in high school. I mean, I don't know if he did a bit in college, but he was number one in Ohio, I think, and number one in the state, right? I've seen him done wrestling with Paulo Costa, and I thought it was really, I thought it was very competitive grappling matches. I guess they're in a sparring environment where they're not going all out and things like that. And you're going against a very well-trained athlete like Paulo Costa, who's huge for his size, definitely bigger than Logan Paul. But it only makes sense if it was maybe an MMA bout. Do I think someone as old as Floyd would ever go MMA? No, which is why it's going to boxing. Plus, he's the greatest boxer ever. It's his fame that's building the fight, not Logan's.
Yeah.
Logan's going to make a shit ton of money. Floyd's going to make a shit ton of money. And a lot of people are going to watch it illegally. That's it. No one's going to...
Yeah.
A lot of people is going to watch it illegally, and a lot of people are not going to watch it properly.
Yeah,
it's not going to happen. No one's going to pay actual money for that shit.
Are we going into an age right now where it's just pro boxers fighting YouTubers and it's just a money grab, it's just a cash grab? Because Tyson versus Roy Jones Jr. had all those kids watching Jake Paul versus Nate Robinson on the undercard. That had way more pay-per-view buyers than Tyson versus Fury. Sorry, Fury versus
Wilder.
Yeah. It's just, I don't know. I've seen memes about it. It says, when it said, oh, boxing, we need to put on a fight that will sell money but not compromise the integrity of the sport.
I know.
Did the exact opposite.
I wanted to come back to the AJ versus Tyson thing. Now that AJ and Eddie Hearn have made it clear that they went and said, tomorrow we set up the best boxing fight that we can produce now in 2021, which is Tyson Fury versus Anthony Joshua. Anthony Joshua comes off a great win against, what was his name, Pulev? And Tyson Fury comes off a great win off Deontay Wilder. Mm-hmm. I mean, post-COVID, they had a few people in the arena where they were showing the fight. They had a few people. It was definitely not full capacity. It was maybe, I don't know, 20% capacity, 25, 30. But I think it would be really interesting if maybe you could get 50% occupancy and you got Tyson Fury versus Anthony Joshua. I just hope COVID doesn't fuck with these fights. But me personally, I would take Tyson Fury in that. I think I think Anthony Joshua is a great fighter, right? I think he's a very good heavyweight champion. You know, all the credit to him. I think Tyson Fury, he's so technically sound. Doesn't have the big muscles. He doesn't, but he moves around so effortlessly. Someone a big as that big shouldn't move around so effortlessly like that. He's a very tall guy. He's got huge reach. I feel like his technique is so crisp and he's so fluid in his movement. I feel like he pieces up AJ. I don't know. I don't know if he KOs AJ.
Yeah.
But I do think that Tyson takes it. What do you think?
I want to see I reckon Tyson's going to take it because, you know, it shows that skill overpowers, you know, a good body and all that, really. Like, we saw it in Andy Ruiz versus Anthony Joshua. I mean, Andy Ruiz is a little fat pig, but he just...
Oh, God.
Yeah, he beat him.
Called him a little fat pig.
Yeah, well, that's what everyone's been saying. That's what the British people are saying. They literally was all the memes. They said they took probably what would have been a depiction of a Greek god against a little fat pig.
Oh my God.
And you beat him. And all the memes like came out after this the rematch where people were saying, oh, Andy Ruiz had the world in the palm of his hand and then he ate it, the fat pig.
Oh my God.
Or there were some other nice names that they were calling him. But what happened to Andy Ruiz since then? He hasn't fought since
He hasn't fought since then. I think he's just continuing to train and things like that. I think he came in too heavy for the last fight. He wasn't conditioned as much. And I feel like he took it pretty easy afterwards. I mean, to be fair, you win against Anthony Joshua. I believe Anthony Joshua had four belts at the time. Four of the five heavyweight belts. You win all those four of the five in one fight. You have all this fame. You're the more chubby fighter. And you beat this Adonis-looking fighter who everyone counted you out against.
Yeah.
And you beat him with crisp technique.
Mm-hmm.
That's got to go to your head. I feel like the following fight, a lot of people around him were saying, hey, you beat him last time. He's nothing. He's nothing. You don't need it. You train so hard, you're already the champion. You're already the champion. He's going, I don't have to train as hard. Yeah. I'll still train hard. I'm a world-class boxer. I'm really good.
Mm.
But I beat AJ last time. I reckon I can take it a little bit more easy. I reckon I can come in a little bit heavier. Maybe
a few more Snickers bars, you know.
Just exactly. I'll eat a couple more Snickers bars and I'm going to take out AJ. And AJ slimmed down a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, he didn't worry so much about power. He worried more about the sweet science of boxing. And he beat Ruiz fair and square. And I think Tyson Fury's technique is just well above AJ's. I feel like Tyson Fury, he's just... The way he is now and the way he was displaying his skill and his technique against Deontay Wilder, who is a crazy heavy hitter. I mean, actually, I think Wilder has more power than Joshua. I think he's faster than Joshua.
See, here's the thing. Sometimes when fighters lose, they want to get back in the cage straight away and prove themselves. You know what I mean? Like, I feel that's a fair thing. Like, last time Ferguson fought was against Gaethje and he lost. He was ready. He wanted to go straight away back into the cage. It's a little bit different in boxing. When they lose, you don't see him for a while. Like, we haven't seen Ruiz since the loss. We haven't seen Wilder since his loss.
Yeah.
You know?
He's been making some weird excuses for his... He said a lot of things. He said, like, someone put...
some poison in his water or...
I actually wanted to talk about that because that reminds me of someone that isn't really talked about anymore and he's a very famous boxer, George Foreman.
Okay.
After George Foreman lost to Muhammad Ali, afterwards he spoke about in an interview, he said, after that, I was such an angry man. I walked around with so much anger and I had the most outrageous excuses. He said, it was my management, it was my coaches that were against me, somebody put stuff in my water, things like that. And then we have Deontay Wilder making similar excuses after he lost to Tyson Fury. Fair and square, by the way, he brought out egg weights, he brought out improperly put gloves, he said someone put relaxants in my water, he fired his coach, who threw the towel in, potentially saving years on his career, and also the issue of CTE, which is common in boxing and other combat sports. He said a lot of random stuff against Tyson Fury, and I feel like he doesn't really have much basis.
Yeah.
The only thing maybe was maybe the improper fitment of the glove because he was able to bend his wrist back.
Mm.
But you could see when he was holding it and he closed his fist, that there were times in the fight where he could close his fist quite fully. I think someone with big... to be honest, that is the only kind of gripe he could have.
Yeah, it's not enough to overturn it, though.
Nothing to overturn it. I feel... And also, the first thing Wilder said was the suit. He said, oh, that was a 30-40 pound suit or something like that. And I was like, why the fuck you wear it then?
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't have to be that heavy.
Don't you wear weight vests all the time, as you said in your interview with
Exactly. Jordan? He yeah. said, it doesn't matter. I wear weight vests and run all the time, yet that walk killed your legs?
Yeah. Maybe the adrenaline.
He might have had a massive adrenaline dump.
Yeah.
He might have had a huge adrenaline dump, and that's what really killed him, because he felt fatigued right after that big adrenaline dump. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, well, if he's going to come back, he's got to fight someone. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. He has to fight someone. Yes. I don't know who they're going to put him against, but I wouldn't mind seeing Wilder versus Fury number 3. I would pay that.
I would pay for that. What, Fury versus Wilder 3 or Fury versus Anthony Joshua? Eddie Hearn, counting on you, son. Make it happen. You know, it's got to happen.
Yeah, I thought it was really good that Eddie actually right afterwards said, hey, that's the next fight we need to make. There's less talk, more action.
Yeah, you know. Anything else you want
to
bring up?
Well, I wanted to bring up... Well, next week we have some huge fights, right? I think later, closer to the date, we can talk about them a bit more depth. But there was two fights I really wanted to talk about to finish off the podcast.
Okay.
Stephen Thompson versus Jeff Neal.
Okay.
And we've got Jose Aldo versus Marlon Vera, mm-hmm. right? So talking about Stephen Thompson versus of Jeff Neal. Jeff Neal is an up-and-coming fighter. He's doing very well in the UFC. Stephen Thompson.
Wonderboy.
Yeah, Wonderboy. Great champion. Incredible kickboxer. Very fast on his feet. I love watching his YouTube channel. He always does really good breakdowns and things like that. And his YouTube videos are even better than some of the UFC embeddeds, because you could see some of his sparring was Chris Weidman. Chris Weidman was helping out with his wrestling and things like that. We know Chris Weidman's having a little bit of a comeback. His last win, he out wrestled to come to a decision. Yeah, I mean, Stephen Wonderboy Thompson, he's got a fight on his hand with Jeff Neal, and it's a very competitive fight, and that's going to be the main event of next week's card. What do you think about that?
Ooh, I'm looking forward to it. I want to see Stephen Wonderboy Thompson win, because what was his last fight? Was it against Anthony Pettis?
It's been a long time.
Yeah.
It's been a long time since he's fought. I can't really remember, to be honest. I don't think it was Anthony Pettis, actually. That was a while ago.
Either way, I really want to see how Jose Aldo is going to play against Marlon Vera, because Marlon Vera stole Sugar Sean O'Malley's hype. Mm. You know, and Jose Aldo lost his last fight to Peter Yan.
Vicente Luque.
Okay.
Vicente Luque beat Stephen Wonderboy Thompson.
Oh, I see. So,
but Vicente Luque is a fucking beast in itself.
So I think that maybe, I feel like also Jose Aldo might be battling for his place in the UFC.
I was going to come to that. I think if he loses...
Last two now.
I think if he loses this one, he's out.
He lost to Marlon Moraes, and then he lost to Peter Yan. So, and he's not getting any younger either, and he's had some wars now, and he's got quite a few losses on his streak, because he's lost to Max Holloway twice, and he's lost to... So he's got about 5 more losses on his streak. So I'm just saying, man, he's got to win, you know,
It'll just certainly light a fire up underneath his ass, because if he doesn't, it's questionable if they get rid of Jose afterwards. Like
Dana is saying there's going to be at least 60 more cuts. It's just got me thinking now, questioning a lot of fighters' positions.
They're definitely, I mean, to be fair, they're going to get rid of a lot of people that aren't even in the top 15, which is fair. A lot of people, they've kind of exaggerated a little bit. They have a huge roster. It's insane how big it is. They're going to chop off a lot of people that aren't in the top 15, maybe below top 10. They're going to, but if you're in the top 10,
you're fine.
You should be okay, right?
You're a very inactive top 10 fighter.
Inactive top 10 fighter or top 5 fighter, or a very aging competitor. Someone like Glover Teixeira, he's an older guy in top 5, but he's most likely going to get a title shot in light heavyweight. Doesn't have to worry about it. If you've lost a great many of your last 5 fights,
mm-hmm.
you know, you've got to be scared that, yeah. you know, you're going to go. Cub Swanson today won, and he said, he mentioned in his interview, hey, it actually did cross my mind. If I lost today, I was most likely losing my contract, right? Cub Swanson comes off a TKO win. I believe it was in the second round against Panetta. I thought he did very well again. He's been around for a very long time.
Yeah.
If he lost that fight today, they would have got rid of him. Yeah. It's sad.
Here's the thing. Now, I don't think the wins matter anymore. I think it's all up to Dana, because let's take some fighters that have been dropped, even if they're a winning streak, like Sage Northcutt. He was on like a 4-fight winning streak and he still got dropped.
That's an interesting one, because I did some research into that, and Sage Northcutt actually tested the waters afterwards. He didn't straight away get rid of the UFC. Yeah. Dana actually mentioned and did an interview and said, actually, I love Sage Northcutt. I think he's really, really good. I think he's brilliant, right? But he chose what was best for himself, and he chose one championship. And it wasn't out of a vindictive way. I think he was just disappointed that he chose one championship and not the UFC. Mm-hmm. And I think then when he lost in one championship, he was like, hey, you should have been here, because we would have treated you a bit better. Because when they put him up against... Who did they put him up against? I'm blanking on the name.
Cosmo Alexandria.
Yeah. And, I mean, your first fight in one championships and they're going to give you that?
Yeah.
That is one of the most ridiculous matchups I've ever seen in one championship.
You know, it's going to be interesting. When the UFC's finished with all their cuts, right? And what's going to happen to about those 60 fighters?
Mm.
How many of them are going to go to Bellator or ONE or Ryzen, you know? And then how many of them are actually going to lose or get absolutely smashed by the people that they have in those divisions? Mm. That could be really interesting.
Very interesting. I mean, something I wanted to mention just at the end was, and you sent this to me the other day, was that Disney Plus, and we mentioned that Disney Plus... with Star Wars, with The Mandalorian, they were going all in on The Mandalorian, yeah. because that's the only thing that was saving their network.
Yeah.
They went all in. They brought out nine TV shows / movies.
Yeah.
They brought out the Obi-Wan Kenobi. We knew that was coming. But then there was...
Andor, who was the... he was in Star Wars
Rogue One. That comes from the Rogue One. They had the... Was it the Fighters of the New Republic or something like that?
Then you got the Bad Batch, which is a...
That's animated.
The Clone War series. Ahsoka Tano is getting her own series.
That's fair enough. God. That'd be very good.
There's Rogue Squadron coming out. Then there's, what else? Oh, there's some other stuff. But Disney's now no longer sleeping on Star Wars. They're really expanding the Star Wars universe.
Do you think that maybe 9 shows is a bit much?
Depends. Depends on what period.
That's a lot.
Yeah, it depends over what period and what time.
Because they've already said they're going to bring out the movies as well, which are going to be their own trilogies of their own times and things like that.
Yeah.
Do you know who I would have liked instead of like an Ahsoka Tano? Is maybe like a young Luke Skywalker series. I reckon that would have been cool. But if they've got the Obi-Wan Kenobi one, I'm fucking happy. I reckon that's cool in itself.
Yeah.
But do you think maybe 9 TV shows is a bit much?
I don't know.
It's a lot.
It's a lot. Well, there are quite a few of them I know are going to be animated as well.
Yeah, so they may be playing to more the younger audience and things like that. But like, it's a lot. Yeah. 9 shows is a serious amount. Do you think maybe you're spreading yourself a bit thin, because then you can't throw as much money at The Mandalorian or Ahsoka Tano or these other shows? You know what I mean? They're spreading themselves a bit thin.
There's one thing funding. Disney's got is. Fucking money.
Because do you know why they got all their money? It's from fucking remakes.
Yeah.
Everything. They can make Lion King 53, the remake, animated version.
With actual animals.
Yeah, with actual animals, and everyone will be like, sign me the fuck up. I'm gonna buy that right now.
Yeah.
They're gonna just make remakes until they can fund all their other projects, hey. And Marvel's brought out a lot of cool stuff. There's been rumors. Actually, no. There's a few things I want to talk about. It's insane. If you want to geek out on Star Wars and Marvel, it's a great time. Because Marvel, they're trying to get rid of some of the rumors. But in Star Wars... Spider-Man 3, they're bringing back the other two Spider-Men. They're bringing back... They've got Tom Holland. They've got Andrew Garfield. And they've already got Andrew Garfield, I think, on board.
Yeah.
The one person they're trying to get on board now is Tobey Maguire.
And the woman who played as Mary Jane in the first Star Wars. Okay, Sorry, in the first Spider-Man.
Are you sure? Was it?
I can't remember her name.
Or was it the second Spider-Man?
She was in the very first ever Spider-Man as Mary Jane, and second Spider-Man and third Spider-Man.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So here's the theory. We know that the Tom Holland Spider-Man exists in, you know, with, what is it, Stephen Strange and all that. Now, Stephen Strange's movie is called The Multiverse of Madness, right? So that there is other multiple universes. It's been experimented in TV, in the Flash and Arrow TV show.
But now they're going to use it with Doctor Strange's Multiverse of Madness. So I feel like
in the new Spider-Man movie, he's going to call Stephen Strange, and then he's going to call in, because what they're trying to do is they're trying to bring back Doctor Octopus.
I saw that. Yeah. They've actually got him on board, that actor. Yeah. They've got him on board. And
also, who else?
Jamie Foxx is Electro, but apparently he's not going to be blue. He's not going to be in his... He's going to be a different kind of...
Yeah. Way. So they're trying to do a Sinister Six for Spider-Man 3 and then bring back the other two Spider-Mans. So you got your own little Spider-Man into the Spider-Verse.
I think that's really fucking cool.
My mind will be blown if they did that. Absolutely blown.
I think something like that, They should set that up, because it's the third Spider-Man. It's not like they haven't fleshed out a Spider-Man enough, you know, in these other Avengers movies. I really think they should start delving into this multiverse stuff. I think that's sick. The next one I wanted to talk about was that for the Obi-Wan Kenobi, they're bringing back... We already knew Ewan McGregor was going to be a young Obi-Wan Kenobi again, but they're going to bring back Hayden Christensen, who's going to be a Darth Vader / Anakin Skywalker. Now, what's weird is, I don't know if they're going to show Darth Vader in the Obi-Wan Kenobi series. They might lose a bit of fan service if they don't do that, but it would be cool to maybe see... I know they'll definitely do a Darth Maul, but I think maybe Anakin Skywalker as maybe like a Force ghost or something, or it could be used later on with Hayden. We always thought that was going to happen with Hayden Christensen, but it looks like Hayden Christensen is most likely going to be a Darth Vader, or there's going to be maybe some flashbacks as Anakin Skywalker through Obi-Wan's kind of journey. Yeah.
Crazy.
Fuck, it's a cool time to be a fucking Marvel or Star Wars geek. Honestly, it's sick. I think Disney's making some proper moves now.
They ain't sleeping anymore.
Well, I think they're losing a lot of money now because of Disney Plus, and they're not really producing anything, are they, because of COVID?
Well, because when Mandalorian Season 2 came up, all the sales went up, you know?
Exactly, and I think Mandalorian is the one that's keeping everyone on Disney Plus.
Next week's the finale episode.
Yeah,
I feel like they're going to end it on a cliffhanger.
I think they are, and I think the cliffhanger that and I thought about this before doing the podcast. I think the cliffhanger that they're going to leave on the last episode is that somebody shows up to that Seeing Stone and it's a Jedi.
Yeah, okay. So
I just don't know what Jedi.
I know. So here's the point. Here's what we've got to do, right? Okay, so right now, almost at the end of the podcast, okay? So next week, the next podcast we're going to do is the Everyday Hour. And it's going to be probably next Sunday. It'll be our Christmas episode, right?
Mm.
So tune in for the Christmas episode. And it's going to be an everyday hour. And it's going to be a lot of reviewing The Mandalorian. Us gathering as much information as we can.
We should do one MMA. A short MMA hour and a short everyday hour on the same day.
So we do a double episode on Sunday.
All
right, man. Should we leave it up there?
We should leave it there. That's a good cliffhanger. All right. See you guys. Thanks for listening.
All the best.
Catch up. Bye.